Foreword by Brad Spangler. The very term evokes mental imagery, and rightly so, of bloody tyrants and their apologists. From the killing fields of Cambodia to the massacre in the Katin Forest, from statist dupes calling for more government power to fight poverty, to Trotsky's bastard ideological grandchildren that are called neoconservatives. It has been a fig leaf for banditry and the ravening twin thirsts for power and blood. It has been the mantra of those who would conspire to realize Orwell's nightmare vision of a totalitarian boot forever stomping on a human face. I am referring to the other war, the class war. Marxist doctrine held, in a nutshell, that the relationship between the common people, the proletariat, and the elite, the capitalists, was a continuation of the master and slave relationship of ancient times, and that any means, regardless of how ostensibly evil it may appear, was justifiable in addressing that iniquitous inequity. With the meltdown of nearly all avowedly Marxist states in the late 1980s and early 1990s, the notion of a class struggle was supposed to be consigned to the dustbin of history, along with the rest of the smoke and mirrors of Marxist ideology. There is only one problem, though. Marx's analysis of the world around him was partly wrong and partly right. Where there is truth, there is relevance. It is time for libertarians to dust off the notions of class struggle, class consciousness, and class warfare in order to place them within an increasingly sophisticated libertarian anarchist ideological framework under the primacy of the zero aggression principle. One flaw in Marx's thinking, you see, was his theory of exploitation. Libertarians recognize that there is nothing inherently exploitative in any genuinely voluntary agreement, such as agreeing to work for a wage. Likewise, there isn't anything virtuous in subtly coercing compliance with demands for labor to be performed on dictated terms, including wage rates. Where Marx was right in his analysis is that under state capitalism, as opposed to a truly free market, there is an exploitative relationship between the moneyed interests and the common people. He misidentified the oppressor class, though. What is this actual oppressor class, you ask? The actual oppressor class is the political class, as originally identified by Frenchmen Charles Comte and Dunoyer over 150 years ago. By the political class, it is meant those who draw their livelihood not from the market, but from the state. The political class is the parasitic class that acquires its livelihood via the political means, through confiscation, taxation, and other forms of coercion. Their victims are the rest of us, the productive class, those who make their living through peaceful and honest means of any sort, such as a worker or an entrepreneur. State capitalism, which most confuse with a free market, is most properly understood as a form of socialism in a Hayekian sense of statist control. That is to say, it is banditry under guise of law. It would also be economically accurate to label it fascism, mercantilism, or corporate statism. Conversely, a truly free market, or capitalism in the Randian sense of non-aggression, minus Rand's own personal fetish for big business, would, I maintain, bear a striking similarity to the vision of anti-state socialists and distributists. Wally Conger has distilled in the accompanying text the essence of Samuel Edward Konkin III's unfinished exposition of this class theory, Agorism contra Marxism. I am deeply honored to present Agorist Class Theory.